mercy and peace be to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to just share the gospel lesson for this day once again with a couple of added verses that follow immediately after the reading that we had earlier. One Sabbath, he, Jesus, was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain, and the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him?" And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent, and he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart. And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a great blessing to be with you here this morning. Have you noticed how obsessed our Lord is with rest? How important rest is to the Lord. As the Lord reveals to Moses how he ordered time, how he ordered days and hours and the week, he showed them, he revealed to him how he simply spoke and he called into being. And as he orders our week, he provides rest, giving us an example for our lives as well. Beginning with the first day, God calls light out of darkness, and he calls chaos into order. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Then, the second day, he separates the waters from above, the waters above from the waters below. And there was evening, and there was morning the second day. The third day, he separates the land from the seas. He gathers the land and he separates them from the waters of the oceans and the seas, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day, the third day. And also, on that third day, before the day ended, he also put plants on the land. And then the fourth day, he orders the lights. He gives a great light to give light and light to the plants and the vegetation during the day, but he also gives a light to reflect the great light in the night, to give order to the night, and also put stars in the sky. There was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Then on the fifth day, he calls into being all the animals that fly and fill the sky, and all the animals that swim and fill the ocean. There was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And finally, on the sixth day, he calls into being all the animals, all the creatures, all the living creatures that crawl on the face of the earth. And it was good. And it seems as though he is done with all of his creation. But he's not yet. Even though he announces that it's good, he goes on, he says, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so from the dust of the earth, God forms man and breathes life into his nostrils, and man is created. And there was evening, and there was morning. And as he creates man, he says, you are to have dominion over all of creation, all the animals, everything I have created, you are to rule over it. But then the next day, what does God do? He ceases from all of his work. And he rests. And he declares that this day, the Sabbath day, is a holy day. It is a day of rest. It's a day to remember. I find it very interesting how God orders the day. Now, this is a little bit different than how we, in our Western mind, think of the beginning of the day, but the Jews still order their days in this way. When do the Jews begin their day? What's that? At sundown, at dusk. There was evening. God, as he announces creation, he says, evening is first. Now, what do you think that meant for man? God makes man, and then all of a sudden, it's evening. I think what this means for man is that rest, that bodily rest, is something that's very necessary for each one of us. But then he goes on and designates a whole day to resting, to remembering. In essence, God is saying, I am God, and you are not. That's hard for us to remember, isn't it? That we're not God. Especially in those early days when God made this abundant garden. Made this garden filled with all kinds of food, all kinds of vegetation, all kinds of things that were wonderful. And man, even though he was given work to do, it wasn't laborious. It was a joy. And God walks with man in that garden. God says, you can work 6 days, but on the seventh day, you need to rest. Mind, body, and spirit. You need to rest in me. Remember that I am your God, that I love you, that I want to fellowship with you. And as you fellowship with me, you receive rest and you receive life. It's tempting for man to think that we don't need God, isn't it? Even more today than ever. I was showing Pastor Perez my stole here. This stole is a gift to me from Pastor Fung Chau Lo in Cambodia. And the reason why I bring this up is you and I do not realize how blessed we are here in the United States, where we're filled with riches. People in Cambodia survive on mere dollars a day. Dollars. If they get paid $4 a day, they're doing well. Here in the United States, in the Western world, we have so much abundance. We're tempted to think that we do not need God. In fact, we're tempted to even work beyond our regular work week, aren't we? Think that we have to get ahead, keep working, getting more, earning more, so that we can possess more, so that we can have enough, so we can save it all up. Even in the garden, Adam and Eve were tempted to think that they didn't need God to be God. In fact, there was a tree in the midst of the garden, and we're going to hear about this next week in our Old Testament reading for next week. There was a tree in the garden, just one tree in the garden that Adam and Eve were supposed to stay away from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they were tempted to eat of that tree so that they could become like God. The irony of the situation is they were already created in God's image. Then they lost that image of God when they ate of that fruit. That's when sin and worry entered the world. That's when our work became a burden. That's when the earth became cursed and filled with thorns and thistles. That's when sweat of the brow became a part of our everyday life. Even more then did Adam and Eve need rest. Even more now do we need not only physical rest, but the rest that only our Lord can provide in himself. We keep looking for that magic elixir that will overcome the curse of sin, don't we? We keep looking for that vitamin, that health food, that exercise, that magic pill that will take away all the effects of aging, all the wrinkles, that will fix our ailing blurred eyesight, that will improve our hearing, that will take away our aching joints, that will heal our hearts and organs that are decaying, that will overcome the disease that has entered the world because we chose to become our own God. God knew, and he knows how much we need rest. Even more, he knows how much we need him. Even though we're always trying to get ahead, always trying to get more, earn more, hoard more for ourselves. Working more doesn't get us what we desire. It's fascinating to read about all the technological advancements that began taking place in the 50s. You know, when you read about all the technological advancements that are a part of our homes, that are even greater advancements like electric and gas stoves and wash machines and dryers and air conditioning units and refrigerators and then computers and TVs and internet and all that kind of stuff. All of this was supposed to make our life easier so that we could have more time. As you hear about technical advances, they said that all of these advances were going to help us spend more time at home, more time at leisure, and less time at work. But what has happened instead? With the advancement of the internet, of Wi-Fi, of technology, not only do we work more, are we tempted to work more, but we can even work at home. We take work home with us. The line between work and rest becomes very blurred, doesn't it? In an attempt to find rest, we've just increased our burden. To teach the Israelites their need for rest, when God took them out of slavery in Egypt and was taking them to the promised land, he fed them and provided their daily bread on a daily basis. Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," didn't he? And in that prayer, we're learning to rely on God on a daily basis. And this was a lesson that God taught his people. And as he fed them manna, how many days a week did the manna fall on the ground? 6 days a week. Now it's interesting, what did people do with that manna? Many people do with that manna. Even though God said, just gather enough of that manna that you need for today, and don't leave any of it for tomorrow, what did people do? They began hoarding it, didn't they? And yet, what happened to all that manna that was hoarded, that they stored away for tomorrow? It got rotten. It got putrid. It stunk. There was one exception to that, wasn't there? On Friday, the sixth day of the week, God said, gather a double portion, so that you don't have to work on the Sabbath day. So you can rest on Saturday. So you can spend time with me. God is obsessed with rest. God wants us not to strive, not to be burdened, but to rest in his favor, in his goodness, in his providence. What's interesting about the gospel for today, the Pharisees were people who seemed to be obsessed about the Sabbath. And you know, God is not obsessed about the Sabbath as much as he is obsessed about rest. The Pharisees were obsessed about the law, They loved the law more than they loved the lawgiver. They were amazing people who studied the scriptures and knew it backwards and forwards, but unfortunately their hearts were hardened. And instead of receiving the rest that God wanted to provide them in Jesus Christ, they rejected him and sought to earn God's favor through their own obedience of the law. At the same time, they pointed their accusing fingers at their brothers and sisters, trying to find every time that they didn't measure up, while for themselves, they found loopholes. For themselves, they found a way around the law. For themselves, they found a way to justify their law breaking. Some years ago, there was a training program when I was going to the seminary called Dialogue Evangelism. And this was based off of the Kennedy program called Evangelism and Explosion. And in this training, we were taught ways to witness our faith to people. And one of the key questions that we were to ask people as we encountered them, as we sought to share the Christian faith, the Christian hope with them, was, if you were to die today, and God asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? It's kind of a frightening question, isn't it? I know for me that question makes me squirm still. What do you think? What would you say to God if God asked you that question? Why should I let you into my heaven? What's interesting about that question, it's a question that all religions wrestle with. All religions wrestle with this question. But God does not want religion from us. He wants a relationship with us. All religions picture God like the statue of justice with the scale out here. And they picture God weighing all of the good things that we do in our life against all the bad things that we have done in our life. And if the good outweighs the bad, then you get to come in. But where does that leave us? It leaves us wondering, have I done enough? Have I been good enough? Well, the painful answer to all of that is that no, you have not done enough, nor could you do enough. God says all of our righteous deeds are but filthy rags. No one is righteous, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even the Pharisee. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Brothers and sisters, Jesus comes to us with open arms. And he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And listen to me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Because we have not and could not do enough to enter into God's heaven and find rest there, Jesus went to the cross and absorbed all of our sin and all the punishment that we deserve for that sin. And his dead and lifeless body was placed in the tomb and rested on the Sabbath. And then, on that first day of the week, Jesus rose again in victory over death to give us life and to give us rest. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to strive. We don't need to try to work our way into God's good graces. God loves us right now. God invites us in the busyness of our day, in the burdens of our day, to rest in him. God invites us to spend time listening to him, talking with him, being with him. God invites us to receive life, life abundant, here on earth, and life eternal. In Jesus, our rest, the one who comes to heal all our brokenness. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.